Hallelujah. Now, would you be encouraged?
You want another chair?
That's right. Would you be encouraged? No, the scripture says, you know, we quote it frequently and we use it as a, sometimes to justify just a small group. But Jesus says where two or three meet in his name, he's right there in the midst of them. You know, that verse has become such a reality to me in the last few years. Because the scripture says, I think if you break it down, look at it like this. It says, where two or three meet together in my name, there, well, Jesus says, am I. But if we reverse that, there I am. Same thing. But I am was the name that God used of himself. You know, when Moses went into Egypt, God said, say that I am has sent you. You know, so that's really encouraged me over the years. More and more so in these last few years. That the I am is in the midst. And if I am is in the midst, then anything can happen. And anything, everything can change. I want to share something this morning, not this morning, tonight, that the Lord dropped into my spirit on, I don't know if it was Friday or yesterday. And I want to read a scripture in Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. Deuteronomy 6, 23. And it says, then he brought us out from there, talking about Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. There Moses is recounting what happened to God's people. He says he brought us up out of Egypt, and his purpose in bringing us out of Egypt was that he might bring us in to the promised land. And there's a statement made in, Moses makes a statement there, and he says, for our good always. Now, what I want us to begin tonight, before I look at the scriptures, I want us to remind us of a story that I learned when I was this high. Actually, it became one of my favourite stories. And it's the story of the three billy goats. And in that story, if you know the story, I'm sure you do, these three goats, they look to the other field and they see it's greener. And there's something better in the other field than what they've got. So they begin their trek to cross from where they are into the next field. Now, the two fields are separated by a stream. And to cross the stream, the goats needed to cross the bridge. Now, if you know the story, under the bridge there lived this ugly troll who used to come up on the bridge and stop anybody crossing. And the story goes like this, that the three billy goats, starting with the youngest, they began to cross, and the youngest crossed, and he said, I want to get to the field. The troll comes and says, you can't cross here. He says, I want to get over to the other side. And he says, I'm going to eat you for my lunch. He says, no, he says, you don't want to eat me. He says, my brother's coming behind me, and he's much tastier than me. And so he says, okay, off you go into the field. And then the second one come across, and the same thing happened. He says, I'm going to have you for my lunch. He says, oh, no. He says, look. He says, you wait till you see my brother. You know, he's bigger and he's better and he's tastier. And so he crosses into the field. And then the third one crosses, the big billy goat. And the troll comes and he says, I'm going to have you for my dinner. And so basically the billy goat says, that's what you think. And knocks him off the bridge. And he carries on into the field. You know, that's just a story, which we learn as children. And again, every time I see a goat, you know, I very often think of that story about these three billy goats. Now, that's just a story, but very often, a lot of us face similar situations every day of our life. Not that we're trying to cross a bridge into a field and we're met by a troll, but we face situations. You know, we see, you know, God's purpose here, he said, was that he might bring them out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land, into something better, which he'd always promised to bring them into. Now they were looking forward to the promised land. You know, that was the purpose they came up out of Egypt, because Moses had promised them from God that he would bring them into this land that's, the scripture says, it's flowing with milk and honey. Now what an advert for a land. A land that flows with milk and honey. A little bit like the UK. Well, that's the thought of people in Africa. And I was in Africa at the beginning of the year in Ghana. You know, and they think the UK is a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, it must be wonderful, you know, we're so wealthy, we're so rich, you know, we can go out into the garden and pluck the pound notes off the trees. It's funny, talking to the children, you know, they knew two faint words of English. One was, how are you? That's what they used to say, how are you? And give me money. How are you and give me money? That's their basic, that was their English, that's all they knew. But no, God had promised to bring these people into a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land that was blessed with good crops. And you've only got to read the account in Numbers to know that it certainly was a fruitful land. You know, because they were told to look out for the fruit and bring back any samples with them as Moses sent the spies in. But Moses is recounting this. You know, they see all these lovely things, and you know, they were content because of what they believed to stay where they were in the wilderness. Now in the book of Joshua, it's the next, just a few pages over, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, and verse 11, Joshua, this is 40 years after the initial spies went into the land. Joshua goes through the camp and he says, look, he says, command the, he tells his officers, he says, pass through the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now they'd seen it from afar. They'd seen this land 40 years previously. It was a land that was, the grass was greener in that field. Just like the three goats looked out across the, onto the horizon and saw this beautiful field. So God's people, they'd seen the land. They knew it was truly a land that was blessed. You know, and whatever their reasons were, they didn't enter in. You know, they disobeyed God. They didn't trust God. They didn't put their faith in him. They stayed where they were in the wilderness. And now 40 years later, Joshua says, look, he says, we're going to cross over and go into the land that God has given us. And he says, now prepare, because we're going to cross the bridge, if you like. Now we face situations like that. We see things that God's promised us. We see things in the Word and it says that God's promised us this, God's promised us that. And we think, well, yeah, it looks greener in the other field. Yeah, that's wonderful. God's promised it. But it's not what we're experiencing. You know, there's always something better for us, because God's purpose for us is always to bring us into something better. Wherever we are, if we're in Egypt, it's to bring us out of Egypt. If we're in the wilderness, it's to bring us out of the wilderness into the promised land. You know, God's always wanting to bring us out of somewhere to bring us into something better. And wherever we are right now is not where we're meant to stay. You know, God wants to bring us on. You know, I was talking with a lady, I think just last week. I met her in Cambridge. We were discussing something to do with Book Aid and our plans for the future and what we're going to do in Nigeria. And this is the theme of our conversation God unto you, that God always wants to bring us on, bring us up to the next level. You know, we shouldn't be content to stay where we are, but we should be prepared to move on and go higher with God. And in our lives, we see God promises many things, but we don't always cross the bridge. And the reason we don't cross the bridge very often is because of something that, actually I should have said this in the story of the goats, it's something that the goat does is with its horns is, we say, it butts. It butts something. You see the two goats going, they butt one another. Now that's B-U-double-T. But the reason we don't cross the bridge is because we've got a butt on the bridge, a B-U-T. A butt. What do I mean by that? Well, we say things like, yeah, well, I'd like to do this, but. And that but always prevents us from moving on. I'd like to move on, but there's something stopping me. But it might be our inability to do something. It might be our inability to be able to pay for something. It might just be our sort of apathy. You might say, well, but I can't be bothered. There's always a but, and that but will always prevent us from getting into the promised land. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to turn back to Numbers chapter 13. Because I want you to see, this is the problem God's people had. In Numbers 13, the 12 spies returned from Canaan's land. They return from the promised land and they begin to retell their story. It's a wonderful land, they said. This is verse 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. And it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Earlier on in the chapter it says that they brought back a bunch of grapes, and they had to be carried by two men because it was so large. This isn't the type of grapes that you find in Tesco's or Asda or Budgeons, if you've got here in Chatteris. And, you know, this was a large bunch of grapes which was so big it had to be carried. So here in Numbers 13 it says, look, it says, yes, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Then it says in verse 20, nevertheless, in other words, but the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and they're very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, yes, there's a beautiful land ahead of us. Then there's a but on their bridge. They can't cross the land because, one, the people are strong. Two, the cities are fortified. And if you go down a few verses later, it says, look, it says, the people are just too strong for us. You know, there's a but in the way. One thing we need to know and we need to learn about God is that with God, there's no buts. There's no ifs. There's no maybes. If God says what he says, he means what he says. Everything God says he means, everything God means he says. If you can follow the logic. God will not tell a lie. In actual fact, God cannot lie. Numbers 23 tells us that. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? That's Numbers 23:19.
What reference was that?
Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie.
Numbers 28:3.
Sorry.
28:3. No, 23.
19.
What verse?
19.
Okay. Sorry.
I just want to read to you in a couple of other translations, because just listen to what it said. In the King James it says, God is not a man that he should lie. And it goes, has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? In an old translation, Moffat's translation, it says this, God is no man to break his word, no mortal to change his mind. He promises and does he not perform? Does he not carry out his word? Then in the New Century Version, it says this, God is not a human being and he will not lie. He is not a human and he does not change his mind. What he says he will do, he does. And what he promises, he makes come true. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah said this. He says, I am ready to perform my word. Or in other words, I'm watching to perform. I'm watching over my word, ready to bring it to pass. So when I say something, I'm just waiting for it to, an opportunity to bring it to pass in your life. That's Jeremiah 1, verse 12. Jeremiah 1, 12. I am ready to perform my word. You know, God had promised his people a land that flowed with milk and honey. And yet because of their butt, they couldn't enter in. Because, but it's too fortified for us. But the people are too strong. You know, but there's this reason and there's that reason. You know, they brought up a lot of buts as to why they couldn't enter in. And then we read from Joshua that time had come. You know, Joshua said, enough's enough. You know, no buts now, we're going in. We're going to go in and take this land. In the New Testament, we have a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says this. A scripture you'll know very well. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You know, because Jesus died on the cross, God says yes to him. You know, and I think it's some of the other translations say that the promises of God are in Christ, yes, and we say amen to it. You know, we answer amen. Now, the word amen means let it be. In other words, you promised this God, we say yes, and we say let it be. Let it be, you know, to me. You know, there's a key words in that verse 20. It says, through us, at the end. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, excuse me, amen. To the glory of God through us. You know, we can make, we can avail ourselves of every promise that God has spoken. And it's the buts that prevent us from moving on. It's the buts that prevent us from receiving those promises. Well, what sort of buts do we bring up then? Well, let me just read some of these. I wrote some of these down. And we can have a promise in the scriptures of something or other. We say, yeah, well, I know what God's word says, but the doctor says this. The solicitor says this. The scientist says this. My school teacher or college lecturer says this. The professional says this. These are buts as to why. We know what God's word says, but this is what they say. You know, the doctors are sort of favourite ones of mine. You know, because they seem to know better than you do. What do I mean? You can go to the doctors and you know you've got, you know there's something wrong because you can feel it in your body, and they'll come up and say, well, just, it's not that bad, or it's not, it's just take this tablet or take that tablet, or do this, do that. They don't seem to answer the question sometimes. But when we go to God's word, it doesn't, we have here a report which is better than any doctor's report. And God says that we can be healed, we can be whole. Then we say, but the doctor says this is incurable. The doctor says this. Or we can have another promise. We say, yeah, but the solicitor doesn't fancy my chances. You know, I had an argument, quite a big argument with, you think I was only 13 or so at the time, I had a big argument with my school teacher. Because they said one thing, and I says, but that's not what the Bible said. They're trying to tell me something different to what the Bible said. In actual fact, he, although he didn't agree with me, he let me have my say. And then he said, well, it's up to you. You can listen if you want to listen. If you don't want to listen, you don't have to take part in my class. So I said, thank you very much. And I sat out. You know, I know what God's word says, but the school teacher tells me differently. Or the college lecturer tells me differently. Another one we say, I know that the Lord's my healer, but I've still got the pain. I've still got the symptom. I've still got the problem. I'd like to give an offering to the missions department or to some project the church is doing, but I can't afford it. Well, it's all right for me. I'm a preacher, but that's not my nature. It's all right for you preachers. It's all right for you pastors, you teachers, but it's not in my nature to do that. All these buts prevent us from receiving the best from God. I want to work for God, but what will the others think of me? I know what the word says, but we've tried that before. I want to be a Christian, but there's too much to give up. All these buts that people put in the way. You know, and the buts are nothing but doubt and unbelief. You know, and the Bible tells us in James that the person who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. And that person, it says in James, won't receive anything from God. The person that is unstable in all his ways, a double-minded man, he won't receive anything. Because the double-minded man saying, yes, it's great, but here's the problem. Yes, it's good, but. Yes, I know what God says, but. You know, the problem's still there. The pain's still there. You know, the pressing situation is still there. You know, the sin is still there. All these buts will rob us of all that God has promised for us. One thing we tend to do, which is dangerous, is that we very often bring the Word of God down to the level of our experience. We say, well, yes, I know God's word says this, but I'm down here, I'm suffering, I'm in pain, I'm in difficulties. And we try and bring God's word down to where we are. What we should do is bring our faith off of the word of God. You know, don't bring it down, don't bring God's word down to the level of your experience. Raise your faith to the level of the word of God. And then what will happen is your experience will change. Because your experience will rise to meet the level of your faith. You know, whenever you're tempted to say, but. We need to remember the story of the three goats. Whenever that but appears on the bridge. That ugly troll. Remember to knock it off the bridge, like the goat did. Get rid of the but. Knock it off the bridge in the name of Jesus. Now here's a thought. We should, when we're tempted to say, I know, but. Or we bring that but in somewhere. Whenever we're tempted to say but, let's counter that with another but. Say, what do I mean by that? We say, well, we want to say, but I can't do it. We say, but the scripture says I can. So we turn it around. We counter it with another but. Counter your buts with a, or in other words, doubt your doubts. Yeah, but What does he mean by that? Doubt your doubts. Do you know it confuses the devil when we doubt our doubts? You know, the devil puts a seed of doubt in our heart or in our mind. And if we doubt that, he comes, oh, what's happening? I planted seed of doubt, it says, and now they started to doubt that. And it confuses him and throws him off track. Somebody once put it like this. It says, if you doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter anymore. If you doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter anymore. You know, counter the buts with a but. You know, doubt your doubts. Because if you doubt your doubts, you're saying, well, that's not right. What I'm doubting is not right. So it must be, to doubt your doubts is to believe the truth. Are you confused? Doubt your doubts. You know, if you want to cross to a better place, God's intended place for you, God's intended place for me, we've got to learn to get the butt off the bridge. You know, we've got to learn to move the obstacle. And if that means we go at it, you know, head down and sort of ram into it head on. Doesn't matter how we do it, let's get rid of the buts. Get rid of the obstacles. Get rid of the things that are going to prevent us from moving on. And we can cross the bridge into the greener field, into the better place. You know, I wanted to read that scripture to start with, and I'm going to just read it now as a wrap up. Deuteronomy 6 says, Moses is recounting everything that's gone on in their history. He says, he starts off in Deuteronomy, talks about coming up out of Egypt. He's talking about the wandering years, talking about how they've spent time and how they disobeyed God. And he brings up a few of the things that they did. They tempted God in the water. They tempted God, asking for bread and asking for meat. He comes to this for him, verse 23. He says, he brought us out from there that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in. And I've got this underlined in my Bible. It says, for our good always. For our good always. God's intentions for us is always to do us good. God is good, the scripture says, and he does good. You know, there's no shadow of turning with him. You know, he's not good on Sundays and bad Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I know perhaps sometimes we might feel like that, you know, think, oh no, not another Monday morning. But God is good all the time. And as they, a few churches say, and all the time, God is good. He's good always. And he's always working for our good. He's got our best interests at his heart. He always has that. So when we see something in the scriptures, we see a promise from God. It's not so much that the grass is always greener somewhere else. Oh, it's always better. Scripture always paints a better picture of than what we are. Well, let's cross the bridge and get to that better place. Let's move in like Joshua did. Cross the Jordan, go through into the promised land. It will mean we'll have to get rid of a few buts, a few doubts, a few bits of unbelief. But I like that man in the scriptures who came to Jesus. He says, yes, Lord, he says, I do believe. He says, but help my unbelief. I do believe, but there's a few buts in the way. Let's just get them out of the way first. Can we deal with the buts? And Jesus said, look, he says, and he did the job for him anyway. You know, he healed him. He touched him. I do believe, but help my unbelief. What is his son? He touched his son. You know, if we acknowledge the buts, and we deal with the buts, now we might have to change our language. We might want to say, but I can't. Let's start saying, but I can. Because that's what the scripture says, but I can do all things. through Christ. There's just five promises, and when we see a promise in the scriptures, we say, well, yeah, this is what God says. Now my experience doesn't come up to that, but this is what God says. And that's what's going to happen. Once we start putting our faith in the Word of God, we'll begin to see our experience and our level come up higher. We'll cross the bridge, we'll get to the promised land. We'll get to that better place where the grass is always greener. What did Jesus say in John's Gospel? He says, those who enter by me will go in and out and find pasture. They'll find pasture. There'll be something nice for them to enjoy. A little bit of greener field. Now, they didn't have very many green fields in Jesus' time. They still haven't got many green fields over there, you know, because of the climate. But it's beautiful. Where we're going is good, because it's planned of God. You know, God says that He's got a plan for our future, and it's a plan to do us good and to bless us. A plan, His purpose is good. It's a plan of goodness for us. So let's press on, move on. Whatever we do, we've got to get the butt off the bridge. Amen.